today we are going to look at a brand new reality, and we're moving on in our sermon series. We're moving out of looking at repentance, which lasted the entire season of Lent, and we didn't cut it short or make it long. God made it just the right number of weeks. And now we're starting a new one. And guess what the first one we're going to be studying is? Well, you know it. It's in your bulletin. It is a fact that God loves you. And as we begin to look at the facts of life that we see through the Scriptures, this is the first one that we come to. And if you will look at my tie, oh no, turn to John 3:16, because that's what my tie says. John 3:16, that's why I kind of wore it today. I don't think it really matches the purple, but it stands out against it. And the life of Christ and what He did for us stands out against the sin and everything in our world. And it is the defining moment throughout history that gives us this reality that God loves us. From John 3:16 and 17, we read the words that so many of us know so well that we can almost speak them rote. But today, let us speak them together, one to another. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. As we look at those words, there is so much that happens with words. How important are words? And Jesus says, not a jot or tittle shall pass away until the fullness of Christ comes in. And even after this world is destroyed, His word stands how long? Forever. Well, there's a very important word here. And how many of you think it is the word God? That is an important word. How many of you think it is the word love? How many of you think it is the word gave? I think it's the word so. For God so loved the world, He gave. You catch it? If it just said God loved the world and gave His Son, it would be important, wouldn't it? It would be real. And it would be enough. But it says here, God so loved the world. The sin in our world brings what? Death. Death and death alone. Okay? But through the love of God, God's love is so great, okay? When you put that little two-letter word in front of something, it makes it that much bigger, doesn't it? Oh, that you know, when I'm out there hunting, oh, that deer was so big. That deer was so big. That deer was so big. That little word just adds so much to the reality. God loved the world so much. How much? Totally. You see, that's what that little word so means here. That little word means totally. Totally. All of God was poured out through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. His love is so immense. Okay? I can't even say it without using the word. His love is immense? No, His love is so immense. As we look at this Scripture, as we come to the fullness therein, the sacrifice of God's Lamb was so important. Remember, there have been how many lambs and bulls, rams and doves and pigeons killed since the beginning of the sacrificial system? Okay? And just the other week, I made a remark, and I don't know how many of you have ever thought about that. How many people are on the face of the earth today? How many people are on the face of the earth today? Does anybody know? 9 billion people. 9 billion people on planet Earth today, okay? If we had to kill a sheep or a ram or a goat or a pigeon or a dove or any of the other clean animals, how many of them would be left? There aren't enough animals, there aren't enough clean animals in the world to cover our sin. So therefore, God so loved the world. Are you getting it? God so loved the world. There's not enough animals to cover your sin. That's what He said from the beginning of time. God said, there's not enough. Don't you see? So I have to die for you. So I gave you life, so I will die for you. That speaks of the depth of God's love. For the perfect Lamb of God. Perfect Lamb of God was slain on our behalf. But aren't you glad He didn't stay in the grave? Oh, my heavens. What would have happened if Jesus would have stayed in the grave? If Jesus would have stayed in the grave, He would be no different than Buddha. Okay? If Jesus had stayed in the grave, He would be no different than Muhammad. If Jesus had stayed in the grave, He'd have been no different than Confucius. Confucius, yeah, that's confusing to me too. Confucius, thank you. I have too many S's in there all at one time. But Jesus didn't stay in the grave. And we need to understand that that is why we're here today. That is why we get to come to this place and say to one another, you know, we all say it. We all say every Sunday, He is risen, risen, He is risen, He is risen indeed. Why aren't we saying that every day of the week? We only do it on Easter Sunday. But isn't He risen every other day? Because we live in the resurrection. We don't live in His death. The death He died once, right? For all. And He didn't stay there. He rose up from the grave and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father in glory, where He has also seated whom? Us. We are right there with Him. How many of you think about that in your daily walk? That everything you do, God sees it right now, real time. How many of us would be doing some of the things we do or not doing some of the things that we don't do if we had that perspective of who we are and what we're doing? The reality is God does see it all. God does know it all. And He loved us so much in spite of all that, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the reality. That's the truth. And in fact, I want you to think about Christ's death. How much did we deserve what Jesus gave us? How much do we deserve what Jesus gave us? From Romans, in the 5th chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in other words, here we are walking in our rebellion, hating God because we've not accepted Him. But God's love was poured out for us before we would even receive it. In fact, if you believe the Scripture, and I have a feeling a couple of you in here might, it says that before the foundations of the earth, Jesus was slain. How? Because God is eternal. He knew it was going to happen, so it had already happened in God. Because He's not filled with the restraints of time that you and I are. So when God created Adam and Eve, He knew they were going to sin, and He loved them so much that He still created them. He allowed our mess to come into existence because His love was there before we were. That's how much God loved. God knew every mess up you were going to make. Notice it said you and not me. And in spite of it all, in spite of it all, God still brought you and me into existence because He loved us. And why? Why? Because He wanted a creation. He wanted a creation that could choose to love Him back. Because you see, God knew that He could make anything and it would have to love Him. The universe loves God. Do you know that? The universe groans to God. Scripture tells us that. Because in its creation, everything in the universe except us knows its place. Okay? Even the angels. They know God. They can't sin. If they sin, they're fallen and damned forever unto the day of judgment, and then they're destroyed eternally. And all of creation is in the same manner. They can, all of creation, except us, is set because of God's eternal nature and who He is and how He created. He created us different. How many of you can say that today? I'm different. Because God wants the individual to love Him back. He didn't want to force it. He wanted you to choose Him. And God knew that in order for you to choose Him, He needed to make a way that you could. He needed to make a way that would make it possible for us to feel forgiveness, to feel life itself. Because outside of Him, there is no life. There is no hope. There's only despair. And all we have to do is turn on the TV and see it every day. Across our nation, just our nation, hundreds of youth take their lives every day. Hundreds, thousands actually, of people throughout the United States commit suicide every day. How many people are taking antidepressive medication because they are so depressed, because there's no hope in their world? How many people are having psychotic breaks because of the pressures of this world and the lack thereof in their lives? How many of us are driven by the greed that we have within our flesh to want more and more and more and more, never being satisfied because we're constantly looking for that thing that satisfies? We're constantly looking for that thing that's going to bring us peace. How many people are addicted with crack and heroin and cocaine and all the other drugs out there, trying to find that which fills their lives and gives them hope and purpose and just alleviates some of the numbness that they feel? But yet, God's love is so real and so poured out from the cross of Calvary that once you experience it, and folks, I'm going to get real with you here, okay? Teenagers, hear my words, don't follow my course. When I was in drugs, when I was into that stuff, it was because my life was a mess and I needed a sense of normal. And I would get high. That's what they called it. And you would be out of your senses. And you would feel euphoric for a short time. And then that would go away. And then you had to have more, and you had to have more, and you had to have more, until finally you realize you don't have anything. It has you. And it has you so wrapped around its little fingers. No, it's giant tentacles that you cannot get out from under it. But by the grace of God go I. For when the grace of God Himself through His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, entered into my life, He delivered me out of that stuff. And with that came a reality of Christ. I'm telling you, I have been so high in life on Jesus Christ that I don't want anything else. There is nothing that satisfies more than the love of God in Christ Jesus. I laugh deeper, I sing louder, and I find myself in a place of euphoria that even the devil himself cannot bring me down. And can I get an hallelujah out of that? Because when we're walking in the heights of Christ, nothing out of the depths of hell can touch our lives. Nothing. For we have victory over the world. For Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And we are walking in that same strength and power because the love of God affords it to us as we believe on Him who is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And today, I want you to think about that. When He went into hell, He took our penalty. How do you think Satan felt when Jesus got down there? He was probably wringing his hands just like I was. Oh, buddy, I got Him now. He's in my domain. But what he didn't realize is God created that place, and I think He knew the way out. Because when He went down there, He had a mission. That was to take our sin, let it there where it belongs, take the keys of death and hell, which Satan thought were His, and rise up out of that place. And with it, He brought all of those who were in Abraham's bosom. And He opened heaven's gates with the keys of life. And they've been open ever since for all of us who would believe. Unto the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Satan is there. And he sees Jesus. Oh, I got him now. He's mine. And then Jesus just simply walks up and says, I'll take those. They're mine. And he couldn't stop him. An angel. Remember, he's an angel. You see, Satan forgot who Jesus is. He is God, His creator. He has no power over Jesus. So how do you think Satan felt when Jesus departed and he can't get out of there anymore? Because Jesus had the keys to his domain and he locked the door on that sucker. He's stuck there forevermore. I can see that now. It was one of those. Whoa. Can you believe that just happened? And there was weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell that day. And there will be forevermore. And the question is to you, where are you going to spend your time? Where are you going to go? Are you going to ride on the wings of eagles and soar to heights anew? And you don't need a drug to do it. You don't need alcohol to do it. You don't need antidepressants to do it. All you need to do is turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Walk by the power of His Word. What does He say? If you love me, you will obey what I have commanded unto you. You know, how hard is that? It is tough, isn't it? How many of us constantly got scolded as kids? Our parents were constantly scolding. I'm telling you, I would tell my mom all the time, I'm sorry, Mommy, I'm sorry, Mom. And she looked at me, I guess I was about 16 or 17, and she said, you know, you're the sorriest person I ever met. But the reality is, Brother David was right when he preached the other week. The only reason I was sorry was because I got caught. That's the only time we're sorry. Well, brothers and sisters, if God's seeing you do it, do you think you got caught? But yet He loves us so much that He gives us the choice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 14, it says, by His power God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. Now you understand that's a faith statement, okay? If you're turning there, please do check me out, 1 Corinthians 6 and 14. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. That is a faith statement. What do I mean by that? You cannot attain to the resurrection of Jesus Christ without faith in that very reality. Lest you believe that He was dead, buried, and raised again. That statement has no avail to any of us. But in those who believe in Jesus Christ through faith, the unconditional love of God is poured out upon us, and the saving grace releases the shackles of our sin. Christ takes them upon Himself, and He has deposited them in hell where they shall stay. And they are no more upon us. So stop living in the past. Stop living in what was, and start looking unto what can and will be in the love of God in Jesus Christ. For I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5 and 38. And as we walk in that reality, we find the truth that God's unconditional. What does unconditional mean? When we speak of God's unconditional love, you know, I think it's amazing because the world has taken that to mean something entirely other. Okay? We have to understand it in the truth of what it really means. All right? There's those folks out there, we were talking about this in Discipleship Hour. You know, love covers it all. I think that was the statement that was made this morning. Okay? Love covers it all. No, it doesn't. God loves us unconditionally. In other words, it doesn't depend upon us. God's love does not depend on what we do. God's love depends upon what He has done. There is no condition that we need to meet to warrant God's love. God has taken care of that in and of Himself. God has reasoned with Himself that I am going to love the world simply because I do. How many of you are waiting for the but? There isn't one. There isn't one. God loves you no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, and no matter what you're going to do. However, when we walk into that love, remember what I taught you? Remember what I taught you? The gift is free, but it's going to cost you everything. The gift is completely and totally free, but it will cost you all your sin. It'll cost you all your worldly desires. It'll cost you all the things of this flesh. Because Jesus says, now you need to live that life unto me. Listening to me, obeying my commands. This is what I've written. God's love is unconditional. It does not depend on us. And we can accept it or deny it. See, that's the reality. That's the only part of it that depends on us, whether you're going to accept it or deny it. You don't have to do anything to warrant it. God already has warranted it unconditionally. Wherever you are, how many people do you know? How many people in this room are still trying to get it right? Because, you know, I got to get it right before I turn it over to God. What? Man, if I had to wait till that day, you wouldn't even know me. But praise be to the glory of God that His love for us is so strong and so real that His love does cover a multitude of sins past. Okay? From where you are now, He'll cover everything you did. And then He says, now, sin no more. What about those words don't we understand? Because boy, if we did, we'd live a different life. I know mine's different. Is it perfect? No. I'm going to tell you right now, I used to be one of those people who would drive by the church and say, oh yeah, look at them people. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. I didn't realize the biggest one was in the car talking. But what I've come to realize is Christians are people who've been forgiven and are trying to do the best that they can yet in this flesh. Amen. And that because we know the love of God. So when we begin to understand this faith statement that God's love is unconditional and we surrender ourselves to His love And then we receive from Him that newness of life, because that's what it means to surrender. That's why we go into baptism. We go under the water in the representation of His death on the cross. And if I held you there, what would happen to you? You'd die. But I don't hold you there. Bobby and I will yank you right back up out of it almost as quick as we put you in. And just as you've come up out of that water, so too, through the cleansing of the water, which is the Word of God, you have been cleansed to live a new life. The slate is clean, and you have been born again spiritually that you may see and know heaven. That through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which you have placed upon yourself, the love of God, you and I live that newness of life. Easter Sunday morning means something to us as Christians because it is our Passover. The Passover lamb was slain, but the Passover lamb still lives because He is alive in heaven unto God even now. Amen? For He is risen. Then let us get up and give Him thanks and give Him praise because His love has made it all possible. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank You so much for the glory that is Your reality in our lives. Father, as we begin to come to the offering here in just a few moments, as we bring our offering, our tithe, our gift to the table, we bring ourselves before You to receive from You the rebirth, the renewal for those of us who are making that decision today. And for others, we are recommitting ourselves in this offering, bringing our love, grace, and honor unto You that You may be the all in our lives. Father, we thank You that You loved us since the beginning of time. No, Lord, even before that, when eternity was, so too was the love of Christ Jesus for us. And now, Lord, we live in that day until You call us home to be with You forever. In Jesus' name we pray.